One cannot return to Krishna consciousness unless he is favored by the instructions of a saintly person. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Karaya Aikya. If you want to become saintly person or if you want to return to our original Krishna consciousness, we must associate with Sadhu, a saintly person, Shastra, authoritative Vedic literature, and Guru, a bona fide spiritual master. This is the process.
श्रीमतां सपदा कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवण कीर्तनः प्रत्यर्थस्तोभ्य भद्राणि विधिनोति सदृत्सतां नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके नारायणं नमस्कृत्यानरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो चे मुद्रिरे ಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸವಿ ಗೌರವತ್ತರುಂಡ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ
Yes, the previous chapter, which was entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, what happened that there was like, of course, Lord Shiva gave Song of God to the Prachetas, he sang his prayers, then Prachetas being absorbed in the prayers, they dipped into the water for 10,000 years. And they were doing great austerities. While this was going on, their father, who was none other than King Prachina Bhadishar, he was engaged in fruitive activities. And at that time, this fruitive activities, very elaborate sacrifices, doing animal sacrifices and all that, which were very expensive, he was very much involved in, entangled in the doing fruitive activities. At that time, as usual, Narad Muni, he comes very mercifully to wake up this, to bring them into the reality of real transcendental knowledge. He appears and then he tells to King Prachina Bhargishar, what is the purpose of your involving in this fruitive activity? The purpose of everything is to reduce the miseries and enjoy the happiness. But by doing these fruitive activities, you are not going to gain any of those. So, it is of actually no use. It doesn't serve the purpose of the Vedas. Veda ishta sarve, aham eva vedyo, vedanta krit, veda videva chaham. The Lord says, sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishto, mattaha smriti, jnanam apohanamsta, veda ishta sarve, aham eva vedyo, vedanta krit, veda videva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart. From me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna is telling. So, by all these Vedic sacrifices, one has to come to the ultimate goal of understanding Krishna. Otherwise, they are incomplete. So, he was saying, he wanted to bring this knowledge to King Prachina Bhadishar. And King Prachina Bhadishar, when he heard Narad Muni, he said that, yes, my intelligence has been entangled in these fruitive activities. So please enlighten me in this transcendental knowledge. So those days the kings were very, very humble. Even though, like, you know, they knew they were being enlightened by Sadhu, they were very humble and they accepted the instructions and they acted upon. Like even in the story of King Rahugana and Jadabharat, King Rahugana was a king, great king of Sauvira dynasty, and he was so proud, pride was so much there, but when he heard the instruction from Jadabharat, he completely surrendered unto him. And he said that your words are like nectarian showers on my, I can wake up to the reality of life. So like I was stuck with the snake of pride in myself like that. So even here, King Prachina Bhadishar, became took a very humble position. He wanted to hear the transcendental knowledge. So before he even began to speak the transcendental knowledge, Narad Muni wanted to show him the defective in this Vedic sacrifices of animal, I mean the animal sacrifices. He showed that, look, all these animals which you have killed in the sacrificial arena, they are like, you know, they are all going to come and take revenge on you. Because in the process of animal sacrifice, even though it is recommended in the Vedic scriptures, it is meant for people who are in the lower modes of nature, like passion and ignorance. It's not a transcendental religious principle, like, you know, Krishna says in Gita again, second chapter, Traigunya Vishayade Dhanishtraigunyo Bhavarjana Nirbandho Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. He says to Arjuna that transcend these three modes. Come to transcendental platform. Don't be stuck in this three modes of material nature. So like that, so he wanted to wake up the law, this king. He said that because he was so much involved in this fruitive activities, he wanted to bring him in him Vairagya. Vairagya. So how to bring that Vairagya? Narad Muni has got so many, he uses different strategies to teach people about this. So he used the strategy of creating a fear, you know, fear as a tool in him. He showed, look, all these animals which you have sacrificed, they have all, like, you have inflicted so much pain on them, and they are all going to come back and inflict pain upon you. They were going to take revenge on you, and they are going to pierce your body with the iron horns. So he created this, he used the strategy of fear as a tool to preach to King Prachine Barishat. And beginning he wanted to bring in him Vairagya. Even before giving this transcendental knowledge, he wanted to bring Vairagya in him by showing this animals. So what happens is, in the process of Vedic sacrifices, when they when they offer an animal as a sacrifice, what happens is, by the Vedic mantras, but it is about the seeing the expertise of the chanting of the Vedic mantras. If it is properly done, then this animal is promoted to a human form of life. Directly after this, when it is sacrificed, it gets immediately elevated to the human form of life. But if there is any discrepancy in the performance of any of this, what will happen? The animal will not get a human form. And on the contrary, it will remain like, actually what happens is, in the evolutionary cycle, every living being has got a certain amount of period that the living entity is going to live in that particular body. And through the sacrifices, if you check the progress, like, of course, in the sacrifice, if it is properly done, Vedic mantras are chanted and the animal is promoted to human form, that's well and good. But if that doesn't happen, the problem is, if there is any discrepancy, then the animal doesn't get promoted to a human form, but it remains in that same animal form, and then it is equal to a murder. If a person commits a murder, then he is completely implicated in that karma like that. So similarly, if the animal, then it will come back and take revenge. So whoever performs this, then this activity of sin, he will be responsible for that killing, and he will be implicated in that karma, and he will be suffering for that. So that is the whole process of this Vedic sacrifice, of animal sacrifice like that. So after telling this, then he wanted to wake up the bring into knowledge, the transcendental knowledge, to Prachina Barishad by telling a story of Puranjana, the allegorical story, the old history. Why is it called old history? This Puranjana story, allegorical story of Puranjana is an old history. Why? Because the living entities, we are transmigrating into different bodies from time immemorial. In different bodies we are transmigrating without getting free from the cycle of repeated birth and death. In that sense, it is an old history. And then he begins to tell, like, this Puranjana, who is this Puranjana? A living entity. Puran means a city, And Jana means a living entity city, living in the city of nine gates. What are those nine gates? To eyes, to ears, to nostrils, and then genitals, rectum, and then anus. So these are the nine gates. A living entity is situated in that nine gates and enjoys this material world. So that is what is called the city of nine gates. Then he tells about the, he has got a friend who is called Avijnata, who is constant companion through the different species of life. In every, in any form of life a soul enters, this Avijnata, the unknown friend, is accompanying. Even though the Avijnata is there as a super soul, a living entity does not realize that his friend living, like in the Kathopinishad, it is also said that on a tree there are two birds sitting. One bird is, he is so much engrossed in eating the fruit of the tree, the other bird is witnessing this bird who is engrossed in eating. And always this witnessing bird is thinking, when will this bird who is eating will look at him so that all his anxieties will finish. So like that, constantly the super soul is accompanying the individual soul in any form we, any body we take, but still the soul doesn't know. Avijnata, the unknown friend, he doesn't know that he has got such a close friend who he can look into, but is completely known. So like that, then the city, then this king, he is going to different places looking for a perfect place to live, but after going through so many places, he couldn't find any place of his choice, of his liking. Then he went on looking, and finally he came to a southern part of place called near the Himalayas, and there is a place called Bharatvarsha. He got that place, and which has the nine gates, like just now I told. Then that place is so opulent, very, very beautiful, with so many facilities for enjoyment, and it's called the capital of Bhogavati, where a person can enjoy completely to the full extent of his senses. So like that, this the rest of the chapter is concentrated on how the king meets the queen, and he's very much attracted to her, and there are different gates and so many things. That chapter continues like that, and this chapter, which is entitled King Puranjana Goes to the Forest to Hunt. So King Puranjana now going to the forest to hunt with his armor, his bows and arrows, everything. And while going, he took his, with him the, his mind and senses, but he forgot his intelligence. He left, not forgot, he left his intelligence and went, which represents material intelligence, who is the queen. He never left the queen even for a moment, but this time being more proud and like, you know, being very much pride, he wanted to completely enjoy his sense that he left the queen and went. So because of that, he lost all, he started to do so many abominable activities. Like in the beginning, the Narada Muni had told that doing all the sacrifices, you are not going to get any material happiness, you are not going to get rid of material miseries and enjoy material happiness. So that is why, so in this, then again he is beginning to tell here that all these Vedic sacrifices in which the animal is sacrificed, because people are very much addicted to eating meat and all these things, but because even though people are interested in eating meat and they cannot give up that, but at least in the name of religion, like in the Vedas, it is recommended that animal sacrifice, even though they are going to eat the flesh, but after offering in the sacrificial arena, then they eat, at least it is Vedic. At least they are following the Vedic system. Otherwise, whimsical killing is, we become responsible for our own activities of killing, and we become implicated in karma and wander in this repeated cycle of birth and death. So that is what is the main focus. So King Puranjana, having forgotten his intelligence, left his intelligence and gone, he started to involve himself in many abominable activities of killing so many innocent animals for his own pleasure, like, you know, in the hunting. So it was almost impossible for King Puranjana to give up the company of his queen even for a moment. Nonetheless, on that day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt, he took up his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest. Sometimes what happens is when somebody is very much interested in leaving the intelligence and going for hunting, and in Purport Prabhupada says women hunting, so they are so much involved in very much in sense gratification, that time their consciousness can go in two ways, right way and wrong way. When one is very much addicted to the sense enjoyment, that time they sense gratification, they forget to follow the religious principles even. They do very abominable activities. So that way the consciousness is going in the wrong way. They involve themselves in going in the wrong way. So it was almost impossible for King Puranjana to give up the company that we read. At that time, King Puranjana was very much influenced by the demoniac propensities. He was very much influenced by demoniac propensities. Because of this, his heart, because he could not discriminate, because he had left the intelligence, even though it was material intelligence, it is better than no intelligence. Material intelligence is better than no intelligence. But this mode of ignorance is very much acute infection, infection stage. Whereas the mode of passion is symptomatic. It's more like symptomatic infection, but this one is acute infection. So he, at that time, King Puranjana was very much influenced by demoniac propensities. Because of this, his heart became very hard and merciless. And with sharp arrows, he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration. So he became so stone-hearted, and he started to involve in very merciless demoniac propensities. Krishna says in Gita very nicely that what are the demoniac, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very nicely explains what are the Vabhuta sarga lokesmin daiva asuraivacha daiva vistara sabrokta asuram parthame srunu. There are in this world there are two created beings. What is that? Who are they? The divine and the demoniac. I have explained to you at length what the divine qualities are in the first three verses of the 16th chapter, and now he begins to tell what the demoniac qualities are. Dambodarko vimanascha krodaparushyamevacha agnyanamcha vijatasya parthasam padamasurim. Oh Sanaputa, there are he begins to tell that dambodarko vimanascha. What is that? Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness and ignorance. These are all the demoniac qualities. Then he begins to tell what then pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidurashura na shaucham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. So what is the difference between divine and demoniac natures? The divine people, although they are divine and demoniac, they both are originally coming from Prajapatis only. But one of them, they follow. What is the difference between divine and demoniac? Can somebody tell? What is the difference between divine and demoniac?
Follow the scriptural rules.
Yeah, the divine people, they follow the scriptures. And not only by the scriptures, by the authorities, by the we have this 12 Mahajans. What is that? Swayambhurnara Dasham Bhukumara Kapilomanu Prahalado Janako Bhishmo Balirvaya Sakirvaya. By the authorities, by the scriptures, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, everything, they follow the proper Vedic injunctions, and they are called divine. And what who are demoniac? Those who do not follow the scriptural injunctions and act whimsically. They act as per the senses dictate them, they follow that way. So whimsical action is very risky. It is vikarma. Vikarma, there is karma, akarma and vikarma. What is karma? Karma is following the Vedic injunctions, Vedic means Vedic formulas, but the intention of following those Vedic principles is to enjoy your own senses. At least it is good in one way, because at least people are not acting whimsically. Whimsical action is no sadhu, no shastra, no guru, no nothing. Just acting as the senses dictate them, no? Godas like that. But whereas Goswami is one who follows, he doesn't become servant of the senses, but he become the master of the senses. So now, the difference between divine and demoniac is, divine people, they follow the Vedic scriptures, authorities, rules and regulations, what is to be done, what is not to be done, all these things. But whereas the demoniac people, they are whimsical action. They don't follow any scriptures. Like we have so many examples in the Bhagavatam also, King Vena, and so many examples are there, like Hiranyakashipu. So at that time, King Purandara was very much influenced by demoniac propensities. Because of this, his heart became very hard and merciless. And with sharp arrows, he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration. If a king is too attracted to eating flesh, he may, according to directions of the revealed scriptures on sacrificial performances, go to the forest and kill some animals that are recommended for killing. So, even though somebody is attracted to eating, because people are attracted to eating meat, they want to eat meat. At least, you know, that same propensities, if it is used in a Vedic way, like offering the animal in the Vedic sacrifices, and then at least eat that, at least they are relieved from the reactions. Whereas otherwise, like I told you before, if the animal doesn't get promoted to human form, then they will be completely implicated in that. If there is any discrepancy in performance of the sacrifice, then there can be a big danger, risk, very risky. So that's what here Narad Muni is pointing out to King Prachina Bharishar. This animal sacrifice is very risky. And it is usually done, even though it is recommended in the Vedas, people who are in the lower modes, in the mode of ignorance and passion, they are very much involved. People who are in transcendental, the Bhagavad Dharma, they don't do all this lower sacrifice, because even in the scriptures also, the three modes are there, like people in the mode of ignorance, they follow this, and only people who are in the very lower modes, they perform this, because they are very much addicted to eating meat. At least in the Vedas, those concessions are given through at least following some Vedic formula, they can be relieved from the reactions. So here, if a king is too attracted to eating flesh, he may, according to the directions of the revealed scriptures and sacrificial performances, go to the forest and kill some animals that are recommended for killing. One is not allowed to kill animals unnecessarily. Just unnecessarily hurting somebody is against the law of nature. Even in the Dhruva Maharaj pastimes, when Dhruva Maharaj being very angry because his brother Uttama was killed by the Yakshas, he was unnecessarily angry because one Yaksha killed his brother, and he was unnecessarily going on indiscriminatingly killing so many Yakshas. That time Swayambhu Manu comes and tells him what is going on, like, you know, just for the fault of one Yaksha, you are killing so many Yakshas unnecessarily. This anger you have to control, you know. Krishna says in Gita, Trividham narakasi idam dvaram nashanamatmanah kamakrodas tathalobas tasmade tatrayanti jet. There are three gates leading to this hell. What are the three gates? Lust, anger and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So that's how this anger is also very not good, and lust, greed, all this. So one is not allowed to kill animals unnecessarily without restrictions. The Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of foolish men influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. So, how these Vedas, they regulate, like in the Bhagavatam, there's an example given, like how a driver of the bullock cart, he puts the ropes in the nostrils of the bull and controls them Similarly, we, the living entities, we are controlled by the Supreme Personality of God in the form of the Vedas. So that what can be done, what cannot be done. Just now I told you, pravruttincha nivruttincha janana vidur. What can be done, what cannot be done. So all these regulations are given in the Shastras. Regulations, what can be done, what cannot be done. So we have to follow those injunctions of the Vedas. So just like this bull is controlled by the ropes through the nostrils by the driver of the bull, driver of the bullock cart, similarly we are controlled. Like this particular thing where it comes is in Ajamila pastimes, when this Yamadutas, they are going to the Yamaraj and asking that, we thought you are the authority in giving the punishment and all that, but it looks like there is somebody more above you, more higher authority than you. It seems to us very confusing, like, you know, who is that? Like, you know, we thought you are the ultimate judge in giving the punishment. It seems that there is somebody higher than you. That time Emara says that, no, like, I am only doing the service for the Lord. Above me there is Supreme Personality of God. And all the dharma is coming from him. Dharmam tu saksha bhagavat pranitam navai vidur na vishayok napi deva. Then he said, how to understand the dharma? By these 12 mahajans. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahalada, Janako, Bhishma, Balirvaya. So, dharmam tu saksha, the religious principles are enunciated by the Supreme Lord himself. We cannot create any religious principles. Why is that?
Because we have four defects.
We cannot initiate the religious principles. Then it can be whimsical. Like, you know, we have no that authority. So the Lord himself initiates the supreme, the dharma. Then how to learn that dharma from this 12 mahajans? And what is the supreme dharma? You know, etavan eva lokesmin pumsha, like dharma parasmrita. So chanting the holy name of Krishna is the highest religious principle. That we learn from this Mahajans also. So like that, here it is how the bulls are controlled by the ropes through their nostrils. We, the living entities, are controlled by this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all this caste system, how they are controlled. The Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of foolish men influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. So similarly, in the Vedic, in the scriptures, it is also said, Vivaha Yajna. Because a person, the mind is very chanchala, you know, very unfixed. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, Arjuna says. Because of that, a person, vivaha yajna, a sannyasi, he should not, like, you know, even though he himself doesn't have any contact with the woman or anything, but still he performs the vivaha yajna for his disciple. Because marriage, vivaha yajna, what happens is it is a sacrifice wherein if a person, like, you know, like when they are teenage and when they grow up, there is a natural attraction between man and woman, like that. There is some, so that is why the mind can be very not peaceful. To make that mind which is not peaceful in the by marriage, vivaha yajna, they can be brought that peace of mind, because in the marriage, when he is again married to a lady, then his mind is fixed and he can further in spiritual life like that. So that is why everything is there in the Vedic system. Everything is very, very nicely given. Like, you know, just now we read now how in the animals, people are addicted to eating meat, but in the name of religion, like, you know, at least in the Vedas, they have been actually animal sacrifice is actually abominable and is not actually permitted. Why it is permitted? Because these people, otherwise they will do incur sin. That is why at least, you know, to step up. Like even in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna actually tells two paths, direct path and indirect path. So actually Krishna is, even though he is giving direct path and indirect path, he actually stresses in everywhere that direct path is the best. But because everybody is not ready to take up direct path, he gives the indirect path.
Because people, they still having that enjoyment mode and they cannot give up everything, they cannot renounce everything. That is why, at least for such people, Krishna gives different yogas like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga. But ultimately, at least purification is happening by this. That is the ultimate thing. So that is why, so here is telling the Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of foolish men influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Narmuni continued to speak to King Prachina Bharishat. My dear king, any person who works according to the directions of the Vedic scriptures does not become involved in fruitive activities. It is said, Yajnartha karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma konteya mukta sanga samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, a son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. So everything that we do should be done as a sacrifice. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sahayajna prajasvishva puro vacha prajapati anena prashavishyadvam eshavo srishtak kamadut. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by performance of this yajnas. Because by performance of this yajnas, you will, everything desirable will be achieved, and at the end one will achieve liberation. In the beginning of creation, what did the Lord do? He brought generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, by this performance of this yajna, all the material desire, the material happiness can be achieved, and at the end you will get liberation. So all this is purificatory processes. One cannot abruptly. Everything is a purification. That is why people, they are not ready to today bhakti path directly. Bhakti is the ultimate end. Like bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan maam prapadyate vasudevaha sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Like one example I will tell. In the Rialto Towers is there is 55 floors there. To go to Rialto Towers, there are two ways that we can reach 55th floor. What are those two ways? One is by steps and one is by lift. Right? Lift, very quick you reach. But step by step, you will eventually reach, but it will take a long time. Very arduous, very troublesome, very time consuming and too much. So that is the way, like going by step is like indirect path. And direct path is bhakti yoga. Very easy and sublime. Krishna says, Teshamam samuddhatta mritti samsara sagarat bhavamina chirat partha mayyave shita chetasam. So those who take the bhakti path, Krishna says, mayyave, like mritti samsara sagarat. I come and pick them up from this ocean of repeated birth and death. So bhakti is very sublime, but because people are not very keen, cannot take that directly, so they have to go to direct indirect path. Other person who acts whimsically falls down. So after that, otherwise a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. If they don't follow any Vedic formulas, otherwise a person who acts whimsically falls down to false prestige. Thus he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. That he goes up and down from a microbe in the stool to a high position in Brahmaloka. Go on transmigrating in different forms. So who will have to go through this? Those who do not follow the Vedas and act whimsically, such people, the result will be, they will be going either in, get the highest position of Brahma or a stool, microbe in the stool. When King Purandara was hunting in this way, many animals within the forest lost their lives with great pain, being pierced by the sharp arrowheads. Upon seeing these devastating, ghastly activities performed by the king, all the people who are merciful by nature became very unhappy. Such merciful persons could not tolerate seeing all this killing. This I remember reminds me of Mrigari's story, how Mrigari was so cruel. In this waking, Puranjana killed many animals, including rabbits, boars, buffaloes, bison, black deer, porcupines, and other game animals. After killing and killing, the king became very tired. After this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry, and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had appropriate dinner. He took rest and thus became free from all restlessness. So what is said here is, when a person involves in so much of sinful activities, then he becomes fatigued and he wants to rest. What is that compared here is, a people who work, who don't engage their hard-earned money in the devotional service, then they have to, that activity is called sinful. So how that sin can be this by retirement at the end of their life, like after they finish their work, they retire from that work. So similarly it is compared here, one should retire after performing this sinful activity. So the king here, he became fatigued after killing so many animals, he became very much fatigued and he wanted to retire from that. Then in the next verse, today's verse, after this king Puranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. So when a man comes to the real consciousness, after he came home, his consciousness was clear because he came back after. Then he came to his conscience, you know, good conscience. That's what he said in the previous purport. He came to the good conscience, he came to good conscience and accepted a saintly person as spiritual master. So, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salataya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. He accepted a spiritual master, and when we accept a spiritual master, what do? We hear from spiritual master. He hears many Vedic instructions in the form of philosophy, stories, narrations, and about great devotees and transactions with God and his devotees. So this hearing process is so powerful that from whom one should hear? From a sadhu. Who is a sadhu? It is said in Lord Kapila teaching, Prasangam madaram pasham atmanam tavayo vidu saeva sadhu shukrito mokshadvaram apavrutam. Everybody is attached, we are all attached to something. We cannot be not attached to anything. But that same attachment, when we apply to the sadhus, it opens the door of liberation. So, attachment to the material is the biggest bondage. Attachment, as a learned person knows very well, being attached to material is the biggest bondage. Whereas the same attachment, when applied to the self-realized souls, the pure devotees of the Lord, it opens the door of liberation. So that attachment cannot be killed. Attachment will be there. But whom to get attached, what to get attached, that is the most important thing. When we attach ourselves to the sadhus, it opens the doors of liberation. And what should be the what should be the caliber of such a pure devotee, the sadhu? Titikshava Karunika Sahridam Sarvadehina Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana. Titikshava, he should be very tolerant. Titikshava Karunika, very merciful. Sahridam Sarvadehina, friendly to all living entities. Then Ajata Shatrava Shanta, he has no enemies. Sadhava Sadhu, the symptoms of the sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, friendly to all living entities, and he has no enemies. One should surrender to such a sadhu and hear from him. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha chajoshanadashu apavargavatmani shraddharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. One should hear from satam prasangam, pure devotees of the Lord. And when we hear from the pure devotees, what we should hear from the pure devotees of the Lord? About the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhavanti hritkarna, such nectarian messages of the glories of the Lord, when it enters in the ears of a conditioned soul, what happens? He is completely satisfied. His heart, he is completely satisfied. He is very pleasing and satisfying. And it completely satisfies the ears and the heart also. Then what happens? He gradually advances in devotional service. So it is said that when such sound vibrations enters into the ear, because hearing is so powerful, because all of us became devotees by hearing only. That is why the very first anga of bhakti is shravanam. Shravanam is so important, from the womb to tomb. From the womb to tomb. Prahalad Maharaj, even though Khayadu slept, dozed off, but Prahalad was still hearing. And she forgot all the instructions, being women and less intelligent, she completely forgot everything. So what happened in Prahalad Maharaj's pastime, in the last part of the 6th chapter, when Prahalad instructs the school, his demoniac schoolmates, in that section of Bhagavatam, there is a question asked. What is that? Prahalad, how are we to understand that you are always in the palace, you are born in a demoniac family, you are in a palace, confined in a palace. How did you attain this transcendental knowledge? How did you get this bhakti? The schoolmate, demoniac schoolmates asked Prahalad Maharaj. You are born in a demoniac Asuric family and you are always confined in the four walls of a palace. How did you attain this bhakti? Then Prahalad Maharaj began to tell, when my father Hiranyakashipu went to perform severe austerities in Mandarachala mountain, at that time, the demigods headed by Indra, they came and attacked the palace of Hiranyakashipu. And when they started to break and dismantle and everything, that time what happened? They started to arrest Khayadu. Come! They started to arrest her. Then at that very moment, Narad Muni appeared on the scene. He said, what are you people doing? Come on, leave her. She's completely sinless and she's faultless. Come on, leave her. They said, no, we cannot leave her. Because in the womb of this woman, there is a seed of this great demon. Till that baby is born, we have to keep her under our custody. Till then, we cannot release her. Then Narad Muni said, you are all very much mistaken. Do you think in the womb of this lady there is a demon? Definitely not. There is a pure devotee of the Lord. You cannot kill him. So, when the Indra headed by demigods heard the words of this Narad Muni, they released her. So this is the difference between divine and demoniac. Just now we discussed who is divine and demoniac. The same demoniac person, if it were the demoniac person, if he is told to release her, they wouldn't release her. But because they were demigods, they were divine nature, when they heard the sadhu telling that there is a devotee in the womb of this lady, they put faith in his words. And not only they released Khayadu, they circumambulated her. Why was that? Because there is pure devotee in the womb of this lady. And at that time what happened, Narad Muni, he took Khayadu and gave all protection from all the four directions, that nobody, she will not be in any more danger. And he took her to her ashram and started to speak. And she performed menial services because he was a sadhu. She was performing menial services, and he in turn instructed her the transcendental knowledge, giving Srimad Bhagavatam. And while he was reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, she, being tired, she was hearing and she dozed off. But the baby in the womb of this lady was hearing very, very attentively. And when Narad Muni thought she is sleeping and he gave a pause, the baby in the womb said, come on, continue. I'm hearing, So that is why hearing is so powerful, from the womb to tomb. The first sense that ears develops in the child in the womb of the mother is hearing. First sense that develops is hearing. And the last sense that leaves when we die is also hearing. Hearing is so powerful. Sometimes somebody is in coma. We ourselves saw, Mataji, she had cancer, breast cancer, and she was going to leave any moment. She was in the hospital and the doctor said any minute like that. And Maharaj was coming, Vedavyas Sri Maharaj was coming, and all the devotees, went to the airport and picked up Maharaj, and they told Maharaj, Maharaj, well, Mataji is very serious, like in any minute she may leave. Can you just go and just see and do your mercy like that? Then Maharaj said, yes, yes. Then they said that you can, after we go and you freshen up, then we can go, Maharaj. Said, no, 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 no. Straight from the airport, we have to go and see her. Because we don't know when she will, you know. Maharaj straight went to the airport, went to the hospital. And everybody was saying, Maharaj was reading Bhagavad in the hospital. And everybody were hearing, and at the very end, Maharaj, they asked Maharaj, Maharaj, she's completely unconscious, she's not hearing at all. You are telling all this, how she can hear? Then Maharaj said that, no, 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 the soul is hearing, you know. Even though she is like not, the soul is hearing, still the hearing is going on. That is a hearing from the womb to tomb, no? Very, very powerful hearing, no? So even an unconscious person, how he can be revived by the mantra? Similarly, by the sound vibration of the mantras and this scriptures. That is why he hears many Vedic instructions in the form of philosophy, stories, narrations about great devotees and transactions between God and his. In this way, a man becomes refreshed. Like what is that refresh? The king came and he refreshed himself with the smeared sandalwood pulp and flower garlands and the ornaments. Like that, hearing about this transcendental activities of the Lord from the pure devotees, then we become refreshed. In this way, a man becomes refreshed mind, exactly like a person smears scented sandalwood pulp. These decorations may be compared to knowledge of religion and self. Through such knowledge, one becomes detached from materialistic way of life and engages himself in always hearing. He gets the higher taste. Krishna says in Gita that Vishayavini Vartante Niraha Rasya Dehinaha Rasavarjanga Sopyasya Param Drishva Nivartate. By hearing this knowledge, he leaves the lower taste and enjoys the higher taste. Through such knowledge, one becomes detached from materialistic way and engages himself in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. As Sabhavankrita, one is absorbed in the knowledge gathered by the instructions of the. So, this Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, in the age of Kali, these are like the torch bearers. Because in the age of Kali, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the recommended mantra for like Maha Mantra, the great chant of deliverance. The mind is that it delivers the mind. Mantra. Man means mind, tra, which delivers the mind. And also, very, very important is Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. We should take shelter of Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Jnanadi Saha Kalanashtu Drishamesha Puranarko Dunodita. Krishna, when he went away at the end of Vaparika to his Swadham, Krishna Swadhamo Pagate, he went to his own dham. Along with him, he took Dharma and Jnana. And the moment Krishna went, immediately Kali Yuga took over. The moment Krishna left this earth, immediate Kali Yuga, complete influence of the Kali Yuga came. Then how to get Krishna in the age of Kali then? Puranarko Dunodita. Krishna, like Bhagavatam, has arisen into the horizon to dissipate the darkness of the age of Kali. That is why it is very, very important to dense that Bhagavatam has arisen into the dense darkness. To just like the sun arises, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. The light and darkness cannot coexist. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. Wherever there is darkness, there cannot be light. So here, when this person, he became refreshed by hearing this Krishna Katha, he became enlightened. Krishna Surya Sama. Krishna is like sun. Bright, brilliant sun, not just the sun. It's like a brilliant, brilliant sun. Like that, when he is there, there's no place for ignorance to exist there. So like that, the modes of passion, tadaraja samobhava kamalobha dayasthe chetayeta ranavidam sitam sattve prasidhyati. Tadarajas, all the lower modes of nature are completely gone, and then mode of pure goodness is established in the heart. Tadarajastamo bhava kamalobhadarse. All the lust, anger, the knot is in the heart, is slackened. How can that happen? Just by hearing. Shrinvatam Sakatana Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantastohya Bhadrani Vidunoti Sahasatam. Hearing these nectarian pastimes of Krishna is the true medicine for the conditioned soul. In the material world, when we get some diseases, we take so many medicines. But what is the real medicine? Ji jago, ji jago, Gaura chanda bole, kota nidra jao maya, pishachi gatole, eni chiya shadi maya, nashi baro lagi, hari na. Then the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There cannot be a best friend. He has come, brought this medicine of Hare Krishna Mahamantra for this diseased condition of a conditioned soul. And the nectarian pastimes of Krishna, hearing that, who will not hear this nectarian pastimes except the butcher? No? It is said in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, very first chapter, it is said that this verse, very interesting, that verse says, maybe we should clearly read that verse. It is said that Nivrittata Shera Pagiyamanam. I'll just go through that verse so that you will know. Very first, fourth verse of the 10th canto. So it is said here, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system, that it is conveyed from the spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Atmaha. According to Isopanishad language, Atmaha, the killer of the soul, whoever he may be, should enter into the worlds of the faithless, hellish, lower regions. No? So that is why it is said here, descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self, Atmaha. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, should enter the darkest regions of the hellish hells. In 5th canto, 26th chapter, there are 26 hellish planets are described. And even in those hellish planets, there are 3 degree levels of hellish planets. Who will go in which regions like that? Very, very nice. So this is the true medicine one has to take to remove the bhavos. Like for the material diseases, we take so many medicines. But for the bhavoshadi, like, you know, real, the repetition of birth and death, for that disease, the real medicine is hearing about the glories of the Lord. Hearing, constant hearing. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhutu. That is the true medicine one has to take. Otherwise, there is no way out. Otherwise, we'll be stuck in the repeated cycle of repeated birth and death. So I'll just continue that Prahalad Maharaj, the question asked by school, divine, demoniac schoolmates, he said that, I heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Narad Muni. My mother, she forgot all the, because being women and less intelligent, she forgot all those instructions. But whereas me, I remember everything. So because I heard from the disciplic succession coming from Narad Muni, if you hear from me, you will also get the same benefit, same result. That's what he said. That is how I got bhakti like that, you know. By the association of pure devotee. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoya. Sadhu sangha sarva shastra kaya. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoya. Just by hearing and remembering those instructions and acting upon that, our life is success. Thank you all very, very much for your kind attention. I'll stop here. If any questions are there, I can answer.
Briefly, karma, karma and vikarma.
You want me to explain what is karma, briefly, karma and vikarma? Yeah, there are three things, because Krishna says this in the Gita, 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, kim karma, kim akarma. No one knows what the standard action is. So, we all act, because Krishna says in 3rd chapter, the nature of the soul is to be active. Nahi kastichyana pi jato krishtatya karma tatkaritehya vashaya karma sarva prakritijer guna. Everyone is supposed to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the three modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. The nature of the soul is to be active. We have to act. So, there are only two activities that we can do. Either we, because the nature of the soul is to be active, we have to act, we cannot not act. But what type of activities will liberate us, what activities will bind us? These are only two choices, there are not 100 choices. There are only two choices. One choice is to surrender to Krishna and follow his akarma, like, you know, the instructions that he tells in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavata and all. And the other one is surrender to Maya. There are not so many choices. So either because the nature of the soul is to be active, he has to act, he cannot not act. If he acts for Krishna, Atmendriya Priti Ichha Tare Bali Kama, Krishnendriya Priti Ichha Tare Prema Nama. If he satisfy Krishna's senses, it is called Prema. If he satisfy our own senses, it is called Kama, lust. So that is why, what is karma means? Karma is, we act, we follow the Vedic injunctions, but the impetus for following the Vedic injunctions is to satisfy our own desires. I have 100 desires, but to follow those, to fulfill those desires, I at least follow some authority, like, you know, the Vedas, and I don't act whimsically. In the Vedas, in the second canto, 3rd chapter, from verses 2 to 7, there's a big list of recommendations. If you want good health, you have to worship this demigod. If you want this education, you have to worship this demigod. If you want wealth, you have to worship this demigod. For all this, there's a big recommendation. What is that?
That's karma and akarma. What is vikarma?
Yeah, so that is, so we have the recommendations. So what happens is, they follow this Vedic formulas to fulfill their own desires. Then what happens when they perform this yajnas and all, they do these yajnas for getting, like, I want a good wife, I want my child to get 99.9 in VCE. So this is the reason they do these sacrifices. But then what happens when they meet the brahmanas, they tell, oh, why you are asking this petty desires, you have a desire to go to Swarga, you know, heavenly planets, that's very, very opulent, you know, you can fulfill all your desires. Then they do, oh, what should we do? Then you have to do more sacrifices, the more higher sacrifices, so that you can go. So people, they do those sacrifices, then they go to heaven. So when they die, because they have done higher, so much pious activities, they go to heaven when they die. But when they go to heaven, they have to further their pious activities, but they don't do that. What happens? Because they accumulated 90%, when they die, they go to heaven. When they go to heaven, they don't continue those religious activities. They start to enjoy, because wine and women is very proficient in profuse in quantity in heavenly planets. And there is the duration of life is very higher. 6 months of earth is one day in heaven. So they want to enjoy the profuse and sense enjoyment. Then they deplete all their pious activities. 90 will become 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 0. They again come. Then they are very little, like 5 or 2 is left. They come to the earth. How do they come? In the form of rain. We know the rain comes, right? Rain, in the form of rain, and that rain falls on the paddy field, rice, wheat or whatever. Then that rice we eat, the man will eat, and it will transform into semen. And at the time of intercourse, he injects a living entity in the womb of the mother, in the womb of the woman. And that's how the living entity again takes birth from the heaven, and again he does pious activities, and again he goes to heaven and then come down like a ferris wheel. Apatetam bhutva svargalokam vishalam kshine punye matyalokam vishanti evam trayi dharma manuprapanna gatagatam kama kama labante. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. This is the karma. Is it clear what I said? Karma? Karma is following the Vedic injunctions to fulfill our own material desires. Still there is some selfish motive there. But at least it is good because you are at least following some authority. Your actions are not whimsical. Whereas vikarma is very, very risky and whimsical. Just now we read how Puranjana, the living entity, he involves in so many. He doesn't follow any, like demoniac, I told you, right? No following any shastra, sadhu, authorities, no rules, regulations. Doing very whimsical action. Their life is very risky. They can become animals in the next life. Krishna says in Gita 16th chapter, to people who are very demoniac, I perpetually cast them into hellish worlds for so many millions of lives like that. So that is vikarma. And then akarma is any activity we do, we connect it to Krishna. Because like I told you, the nature of the soul is to be active. We cannot not act. We have to act. But whatever we act, yajnartha karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha, we become karma bandhana. Every action has a reaction. Human life is very responsible life. For animals, no reaction. No animals in the evolutionary cycle, they get upgraded only. Animals, if they eat, if an animal eats tiger, there is no reaction. But for a human, very heavy reaction. We are answerable to all our whatever sins we do, for our actions, we are going to get punishment for that. So that is why akarma is every action we do, we connect it to Krishna. Anyway, we have to act. I have to eat, I offer to the Lord. Because even the vegetarians get karma. Not only the meat eaters get karma. Even vegetarians also get karma. Why? Because even the trees and plants, they have some life. But that also, how we can get rid of that karma, Krishna says again in 3rd chapter 13 verse, yajna sisthasina santo muchyante sarvakim vishe bhunjate tetvagam papa e pachanti atmakarana. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is first offered for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Even vegetarians, there is also sin. But compared to the heavy sin, it is little lighter. Because the consciousness in plants is very, very less. Because it's very inert, it's not so much developed consciousness. But still there is karma. So that is why in human life, we are very, very responsible. Human life is a very responsible life. We cannot be irresponsible. Like we just now read in this, we said that, what is that? The human body is a suitable boat to cross the ocean. This ocean is compared to mighty ocean, in that the living entity gets a human form of body. He is a very favorable situation, is like a boat, and all these instructions of the sadhus and Vedic scriptures are like the favorable situations, they need to take the human body to take to the right destination like that. We have to take shelter of all these instructions of the sadhus. Then, we can smoothly, we can reach the destination like that. So, human life is very responsible. It is because every action has a reaction. That is what it is like. Thank you very much, everyone. Hare Krishna. Hope I made these three things clear to you.
Very clear.
Thank you very much.